This is the Riot Act Super 14 Rugby Review.
Good evening and welcome to week 14 of the Riot Act Rugby Review podcast. And what a week it's been, from litigation to trouncings.
Now,
Nobody saw it coming.
Gentlemen, in a couple of words, describe the weekend that's been. How would you describe it in one or two words?
Mine is 1 from 7. That's what I got this week. 1 from 7.
2 from 7 for me, so I'm having a stealing week.
So you doubled.
Well, actually, a friend of ours sort of has been asking us for tips during the course of the Super 14, and I sent her mine this week, and she said, "Oh, those good or not?" And I said, "I listed a bunch of adjectives, from bloody awful to outstanding, genius." And let's just say that the adjective she sent back in hindsight was a little less than flattering.
Right, I see. Yeah, Jesus
pretty
Christ.
Pretty ordinary weekend for Australian rugby all round.
Who would ever predict
that come on, with the force.
The Force were the only Australian team to win.
Who tipped them, I tell you, eh?
Yeah, it's talking about the other three, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I do get right eventually. Interesting weekend. I mean, there were a couple of against the run of play games, probably the Highlanders, certainly the Chiefs, and probably even the Cats. To a lesser extent, wins against expectation. The Force always had a reasonable chance against the Cheetahs, but probably the bookies' money would have been on the Cheetahs. But I think the other games really went the way the good money would have gone.
Apart from you and your 5 tips. Let's go through them. Hurricanes 26, Reds 22 in Wellington. This was nearly a boil over.
It was. The Reds actually had a fantastic game, and they played really well.
Except for the last 20 minutes.
Unlucky not to come away with a win, I thought. They played quite well, considering they were playing away from home, and they've been struggling for most of the competition.
Yeah. Now, I mean, this just highlights how topsy-turvy the game is. Reds taking the Hurricanes close. Brumbies thrashed the Reds last week. Highlanders beat the Brumbies. You can't make a pecking order out of this competition.
No, I think there are certain teams that in any game can go either way. Okay, the Cats, for the most part, will struggle. Okay, the Crusaders, on the other hand, they'll always see
the seventh win or 11th win in 7 years or something like that.
Yeah, there's safe bets in most seasons, but there's always those teams, and particularly I think the teams that usually end up in the middle of the table. So the Bulls, Sharks, Stormers, Chiefs,
Reds, Highlanders.
Reds, Highlanders, can always swing one way or the other. You never really know which team turns up. Blues this season have been swinging one way or the other.
Yeah.
You saw the Blues, the Brumbies thrashed the Cats. Blues beat Brumbies and Brumbies lost the Cats. So, you wouldn't have picked it that way, would you?
No. No. Anything else to say about Hurricanes and Reds?
A couple of players.
Hurricanes next week?
Yeah, a couple of players. I thought themselves.
Yeah, but the Hurricanes only just squeaked past the bloody Reds. How the hell are they going to go against the Waratahs? They're probably going to win. That's the stupid thing about it.
Right. Hurricanes beat the Chiefs.
Beat the Waratahs. There are players in the Hurricanes. Now that we're sort of starting to look at Wallaby contention, there are a couple of players that have been playing well and really need to put, have been putting their hands up. David Croft, for mine. One who's been a standout player at the Reds.
Mm-hmm.
He's a thieving little git, the pitch. And
shame he's doesn't get a look in behind the Phil Wars and George Smiths. Outstanding player. They were whinging and complaining this week around the contract negotiations around Drew Mitchell. Of course, he's now gone to the Force.
And his comment was because he couldn't see himself living in Canberra.
What disruption that had to their game, their preparation, who knows, to his game as well. Another good performance by Berwick Barnes again. Shame to hear he's now going to take 6 months out for shoulder surgery, so that effectively rules him out of any Wallaby contention.
Wow.
Nothing else to say about that one, really.
Yeah. Okay, now, Bulls 17, Crusaders 35.
What a disappointment.
Crusaders got their A game back, one without McCaw.
Yeah. We were all really hoping that the big Bulls boys just come out and stomp and maim and smash everything in front of them. But
Big Bulls boys were sort of stomping down the middle of the field, and the Crusaders were running past them, scoring tries. At,
but that was two late tries
at the end, who had respectability there. This was a real thrashing.
The Bulls just could have stuck out an arm and like clothes hanged a couple of them as they were running past, and like caused a few nasty injuries.
No, this was
to maim
a really ordinary performance from the Bulls. They never looked like they were in the game at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the Crusaders were all class.
Mm.
Even Rich McCaw's young protege ran over for two tries.
Well, one of those he was lucky to pick up because Corey Flynn sort of tossed the ball his way rather than scoring himself out wide.
From a young man that's just turning 20, it's not a bad effort, though.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You've still got to be there to take that pass, don't you?
You do. I think that this is highlighted again the difference between the quality of the teams. Crusaders, I mean, the Bulls were making tackles, but the Crusaders were literally unloading in every tackle.
Just like they did against the Tars.
Yeah, and it's something that you certainly note in the teams that are performing well.
Mm.
I mean, there is always a chance that they're going to drop the ball or turn it over or something, but more often than not, for the team,
maybe it's just the conditioning and the strength of the guys they're staying up and being able to get the ball away.
Yeah,
or training for it as well.
The Crusaders have an awesome coaching staff and they've got a proven program. I think it still seems to be a high-risk strategy
that should be able to be negated, especially because they undercommit so much to the ruck, because they know the ball isn't going to gain to a ruck because they're going to pop it out.
Yeah, there should be. Whether the defending teams need to adapt their...
The Bulls aren't the sharpest knives in the drawer, though, so...
Who knows? I mean, whether it's the defending teams that need to adjust their tackling style rather than going for the ankles, you know, wrap them up and gang tackle sort of right things, so who knows? But whatever it is, the Crusaders are doing exceptionally well at it again this season. And, you know, there was talk of them falling by the wayside after the, you know, dismal performance against the Force and loss to the Stormers.
Which we all thought was going to happen, or praying was going to happen, but...
Bastards. No, it's not happening. They were the form team of the round.
And yet we all picked the Bulls. Oh,
we were hoping beyond hope that the Crusaders would get knocked out of the Final Four.
Just like the Chiefs have done to the Waratahs. Chiefs 37, Waratahs 33. Cowtown has struck again. Chris Whittaker, in response to Chris Latham's calls that it was the dull lights of Hamilton that caused the Red Saloos, has come out saying, which one was it?
Yeah, we have a quote here.
Yes. "We're a pretty tight bunch of guys who enjoy each other's company, so we're not going to get bored. There's enough here to do."
Okay, obviously they enjoyed their company too much and weren't really focused on the game. But there was footage of these guys getting out jet boating during the week. Now, to me, that says, great, we're having a wonderful time. But I think they took the Chiefs a bit lightly here. This was easily the poorest performance by the Waratahs all season. Their defence was...
The only game they've had four tries scored against them. This was their worst defensive game ever.
Yeah,
this season.
96-19.
Yeah, 51-10.
2002.
Yeah.
But look, I think the key difference here was the complacency of the Waratahs. Up until this game, they had they're averaging one try a game. Just under one try a game.
Yeah.
And to concede four in one game against a side like the Chiefs, who are capable of doing it.
Yeah, they are a bit of giant killers.
They did so. It shows real complacency for a team that's, you know, in real finals contention.
McKenzie's going to be doing a lot of extra laps, isn't he?
You know, to let that complacency creep into the game at this time of the season when they're in a real position to secure
a home grand final,
a home semi-final.
And they've pretty much, it's pretty dodgy now, whether or not they will or won't.
Yeah, they're going to be the Brumbies best fans this weekend, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. This last round is just going to be insanely interesting.
Yeah. But when top four teams all play each other this weekend.
Yeah.
With a probable repeat the week after.
Yes, you would think so.
Oh, well... Hang on. We'll get to the Brumbies' forthcoming game, but the Brumbies are, I think, in big trouble to make the finals now.
The interesting thing here is that, Peter Hewitt's boot off again.
Yep.
Chiefs 7 from 7, and I think you would hit one, well, three from seven?
Two from seven.
Two from seven.
And that would have been the difference.
And just like in the Crusaders game where his boot was the difference there as well.
So we've got a bit of a Mortlock factor going on here. Mm. He doesn't kick when the pressure's on.
Mortlock has been kicking when the pressure's on this season.
Yeah, yes, but we're talking about the famous Mortlock factor.
The 2000 grand final year.
But it does, you know, if you can't put those kicks over in tight matches, you're going to lose. I mean, I think they were lucky to come away with a second bonus point this one. You know, it was a rocky, awesome try on the death.
Yeah.
And mind you, it was a well-constructed try, but, you know, right on the buzzer.
The Chiefs said they were targeting Matt Rogers on defence, thinking he was going out a bit light. Had a good impact for them on the game.
That's going to trouble the Wallabies selectors, isn't it?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. Matt Rogers
is obviously the heir apparent to Bernie's position if Bernie's unable to play in.
Yeah, but like all the leagues, he's weak on his positional defence.
Oh, I think he's less so than.
Well,
than
he played schoolboy union as well.
Maybe I don't know whether he's just going high in his tackles and not sort of knocking guys down. Or what it is, but
he's a bit like a Jack Russell Terry. He thinks he's a lot bigger than he actually is.
Well, I mean, if you look at the guys around him, he's the smallest man on the pitch. Whittaker's got, you know, the likes of Wycliffe, Palu's, Hoyles.
But I mean, we all seem to help him out. We've seen Rogers before try and run at guys who really smashed him because he thought he could run over the top of them and found out he was wrong. So that's going to be interesting, I guess. But as it was that. The great thing about this result was it stopped the Sydney press gloating about the Brumbies losing.
Right, they've just paid out Canberra instead.
Yeah.
There's actually, I'm surprised, there's actually been really quiet. I mean, it's only Monday, of course, it's been interesting.
They're trying to deny
the press
it.
Out of there is going, oh no, we didn't really happen. Really lose.
No.
You know?
Everyone denied it ever occurred.
Now, speaking of denying things ever occurred, Brumbies 26, Highlanders 28 in Canberra.
What a cracking game, though. You know, geez, how many times the lead change?
Well, it was cracking right up until the last 5 minutes when we went, crap, we're going to lose.
Well, we thought we might lose. We were up at that
point. Yeah, look, we're all very disappointed with this game. I'm disappointed with the Brumbies, I'm disappointed with the ref, and I'm disappointed with the Highlanders. Dodgy tactics.
The Highlanders played exceptionally well. Yeah. Let's give it to them. They stepped up this game that I haven't done the previous one.
Their kicking game was exceptional as well. They just kept rolling the Brumbies around.
Their kicking game was great. Yeah. Their forward play was exemplary. And we do well to follow that model from that particular game and look at it. I thought on watching the replay that the Highlanders were lucky not to get the player sent off earlier than Jimmy Cowan late in the second half, because they quite often fell on the rucks, and you know there was always a white jersey on the wrong side of it.
Yeah.
Which points out the Brumbies should be using the boot a bit more.
Don't ruck enough.
There was a comment by the ref saying, you know, that's the last time you're going to do that. That's the last time you're going to infringe. I'm not going to see you there again, am I? Yeah. And yet they continue to do it. And I think that it's probably a thing that a bit of mongrel that the Brumbies can bring into their game. I mean, we're probably missing it since Alan Finnegan.
Oh, yeah. Let's face it. Mellon would have gone in there with the size 14s and just, and stomp some heads.
Put the boot in, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. It'll get the guys out, you know, get players out of that.
Yeah, they're not going to lie all over the ball if you keep rucking their backs. Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, I think that the Brumbies pack is quite played quite. Aggressive defence, but it could be taken up a notch at the breakdown.
Yeah, I mean we've never
really
been
saying you're infringing and you're slowing our ball down. Yeah. Get out of the way. Yeah.
We've never
because that's very successful against the Brumbies. Slowing the ball down, and we've got to start playing the set play, and it lets the opposition get in position.
It's something the Crusaders do very well. When we have the Brumbies have a very similar team to the Crusaders. They've got a great back line. They score the points. They got athletic, strong forwards. Both teams do. The Crusaders forwards just have a bit more mongrel. Chris Jack says, you're in the way, I'm stepping on you. Mm-hmm. Greg Somerville does it. He says, but you're out of there, bugger off.
But then again,
they get open when they get away with a bit more.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly.
It's not to say the Brumbies can't do it. The Brumbies have a great,
New Zealand and South African game than it is the Australian game. You don't see it in the Australian game.
What a pity.
Well, we've always been a little weak in some of the rugby fundamentals, and good hard rucking is definitely one.
I mean, the
scrummaging too.
Yeah, well, there's a few areas that could have been.
The Hurricanes came out on their South African tour about how the rucking has gone out of the game. and saying, well, look, they want to have it as part of the game and not want to get penalised for it, and this game's probably an example of it. And when watching the Stormers-Sharks game, well, the rucking, that was just... every other minute, every time the ball went down.
An awful lot of tap dancing going on in that game. But
that was great to watch.
Yeah.
I think something else that was interesting, I mean, the try that was denied at halftime by Mark Gerrard. And, yeah, granted, it was a pretty borderline try, but we saw one of those in the Tars Brumbies game a few weeks ago. Sam Norton Knight scored a very similar try.
Yeah, I was more concerned by... I mean, that was a TMO decision that went against us. I thought it could have been for us, but that was just the game. What was a worry was later in the game when the ball got knocked out in goal and there was no question of a try, it was a question of who knocked the ball out, and we went to the TMO then. I thought that was really weak refereeing in that case.
The refs are, as he was running over towards the try line, his arm went up, he signaled it was a try. That's why everybody was going out, acting as though it was a try. That's why Morlock was going for the kick, because it had been signaled as a try. Then the TMOs come in and said, no try.
Now, TMO can't come in, the ref had to refer it.
Exactly, but the ref has already blown the whistle saying it's a try. Yeah, so, the arm had gone up, he'd blown the whistle, that's why they were in that process of going for
the goal. I mean, the only difference there, unless he was actually calling timeout, was decided. So. But it was half-time when he called timeout.
Exactly, I thought...
Interesting, and I don't know, we'll hear the last of that this week, but...
I don't think we're going to hear anything more of it, it's just...
Yeah, disappointing all the same. Well, let's hope the Brumbies sort of learn from this experience and take it forward into next week's game against the Crusaders.
Yeah, and if people haven't heard, Griggs is out for a week with the after his spear tackle.
Yeah, that was a beauty.
That was a nice little. He just picked him up, flipped him over, and dropped him on his head.
And if you listen carefully, you can actually sort of decipher what he's saying. He's picked up nicely.
Well, what does he say?
I haven't got the whole lot, but it was basically like, what do you want, mate? What do you want?
Oh, really? Yeah, I mean, that was probably the most expensive spear tackle in Super 14 history. We'll see what happens next week, but between 10 minutes in the bin, which you could argue the game might have well turned out differently if Griggs hadn't been off for those 10 minutes.
We actually played pretty well then.
We played pretty well, but you always get the thing, you play well when you're the man down, the man comes back on, and everyone's already used up all the petrol in the tank. And, you know, it was the second half, so that you're not getting any more petrol. I think the sin binning there should have been sufficient. All things considered.
Good opportunity for Patrick Kinslow.
Oh, yeah, great opportunity for Patrick. Yeah, anyway, we need to go to a song.
Yes.
And after that, we'll be back. Born to get your way.
Okay, that was another wasted day by the three of us. But in this case, it was actually by Spoilsport, aptly titled.
Yeah, we're not stealing songs.
No. Not this weekend, anyway. Cheaters, Cheaters 14, the Western Force with their first glorious victory, inaugural, 16.
Inaugural win.
Now, my God, what a boring way to achieve it. What was the victory song, though?
I don't know, they didn't actually play the victory song.
You bar sucks to you, Jimmy.
We got all the money.
Okay, this was, without a doubt, one of the boringest games I've watched. First 60 minutes, it was played 20 metres either side of the 50-metre line.
Well, they were trying to bore each other into submission, weren't they?
And all it was they'd move up, they'd kick.
Not good deep kicks either, were they? They were
It was a strong wind, and the Force had the wind in the first half, and they didn't really use it.
It seemed to be a strong wind both ways, to tell you the truth.
But nothing in this game inspired any of it. It was just a case of that any time they'd have a break, they'd drop the ball, or they'd get tackled and lose it.
The two tries in the match were the only two inspiring periods.
Mm.
Tell a lie, there was one other inspiring period where the Force decided to run it from the in-goal area.
Yes.
And Digby had a good dash.
Good 40-metre dash.
Out to the 40-metre line and then kicked it away.
Which just says why.
Well, he was out isolated 3-on-1, so I can understand why he kicked it. Mm. But, look, it was just dismal, boring. It was a day game. That's what the problem was, day game.
Oh, yeah, the Force admit, Nathan Sharp was saying that it's the worst game that they've played, and yet it's their first win.
Well, the answer, Sharpie, is to keep playing badly, and you're the expert at that.
Right, I think, all credit to the Force, though, when they came away with a win eventually. It's probably not a game they were expected to win.
Mm. It's a very hard won win, though, isn't it? They've really worked.
It is a hard win. It has been building. It has been building all season.
They held out the Cheetahs the last couple of minutes and then finally got the ball to turn over and just held on to it for the last 2 minutes, I think it was, until waiting for the game to finish.
They have been building. A new team learning and a lot of...
Yeah, but they're not new to rugby.
They're not new to rugby, but a lot of players getting exposure to this level of rugby for the first time.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you can say the Cheetahs, Curry Cup winners, so they've got an established base.
Well, that's something they pointed out on Keo, that this is the best province in South Africa that's just been beaten by the Force.
That's right. But the Force have been building every week, and they have said, you know, this is a longer term plan.
Mm.
They've been fairly happy with their performances each week, building on them, and they've come away with a win.
I'd just like to say that for a few fleeting hours, the Force was actually off the bottom of the table.
And then the Cats went and won a game.
Against all expectation as well.
Yeah, well, speaking of Cats, you know, was this expected? 34-33?
Okay, we have skipped a game, but we'll
come back to that.
Okay, yeah. Next one is Sharks 24, Stormers 17.
Oops, I've upset the equilibrium here.
Yes.
Sorry. Yes, that's all
Chaos.
Right.
Chaos, thy name is Tim.
Now, Sharks 24, Stormers 17 in Durban. The Sharks looked home and hosed after about 15 minutes. And Stormers
the Stormers kept them off the line, shove after shove after shove. Of course, they were doing it by giving away penalties. And the Sharks
were too stupid to keep them.
And just kept the Sharks disrupting
the play by beating each other up.
It was great to watch, I've got to say. Just see these black on grey bodies stomping as much as they could. And
I thought it was an interesting contrast because we watched them back to back. The Force Cheetahs game was a very forward orientated game that was boring, and the Shark Stormers was still very old fashioned forward play, but it was interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Night game.
No, I think it was a degree of aggression as well.
It was a very, very aggressive game, and I think there'd be a few sore bodies after that one.
There was a lot of red jerseys.
I'm surprised.
AJ Venter got a couple of good hits on him.
Yeah.
That's always good to see.
In retrospect, I'm actually surprised.
Yeah, and it was Shaul Berger. I mean, I want them both to die, for God's sake.
How close the result ended up. You know, 24-17 is not a huge gap.
It's not the blowout it looked like it was going to be early in the first half.
Yeah, and certainly the first half, it was all
the Stormers, Okay, besides the first penalty that went to the Stormers, the Sharks were attacking the line, right on the Stormers' line for the next 15, just going maul after maul after scrum after maul, and still not getting anywhere until they pushed themselves over for two tries. It's persistence paid off, and eventually they got there. But it was just good to see all those big bodies just stomping each other.
It has kept the Sharks
mathematically.
Mathematically.
Yes.
Finals contenders.
Well, they could have done with the bonus point.
They could have. I think they'd be very disappointed they didn't pick one up after that game.
Mm. But we're all happy.
Yeah, we'll get to the
standings of the table.
Yeah, because it's a mess. Anyway. Now, finally to the game that had them all asking for more. The Cats 34, the Blues 33 in Johannesburg.
What a cracker. You always love games that finish up that close, don't you?
Unless it's your side that loses.
Oh, you pay up.
Yeah,
I didn't see the game, so I've only caught the result and I haven't read too much about it. But
yeah.
Jesus, you know. I'm amazed the Cats managed to pick it up.
I'm amazed the Cats managed to score 34 points and win.
I know. The Cats were. They'd be struggling to score 34 points against, you know.
This season.
But the Cats went out to a really quick lead, and it was only towards the second the last part of the second first half that the Blues had come out and had two quick tries in within 4 minutes of each other. That's actually brought it back to being somewhere close. And then after that, it was just both teams scoring tries throughout the second half.
Now, the Cats fans haven't had much to cheer this season.
They're really happy about that one. A shining light in their season. I mean, this is their second win, isn't it?
Yeah.
And puts the force firmly back in on bottom of the ladder.
Well, force has still got next week to look forward to.
Against the Sharks.
Yes. Yes.
Well, we'll get to the implications of that one as well.
I don't think there's anything more to be said about that. Let's go to a song. We'll come back and we'll have a bit of a chat.
I know you're crazy for me, and four, five,
that was the Wines with their song 10 to 1, which is the odds of all sorts of things this week.
All right, then.
Finish those thoughts before they come out.
That would help. We're going to move on to the beer review. It is the James Squire Limited Release Hop Thief.
It's an ale.
It's like fucking ale.
It says it's an ale.
I mean,
in the fancy writing.
It's the clearest possible ale that's ever been made. It's a,
looks brown to me.
It's a, yeah, in a brown bottle.
It is in a brown bottle.
It's a super hoppy. It's James Squire's idea of an ale, and I like a Squire on tap in the pub. But to call Squire's any of Squire's beers an ale is sort of thing that has the campaign for real ale. Yeah.
Well, this ale apparently has a luscious passion fruit and citrus bouquet. Actually, it does taste a little bit like passion fruit, which is interesting.
Yeah.
With a tenacious head.
And we all like a tenacious head.
And a seductive aroma. Okay, with a brisk finish.
Yeah.
Apparently.
It goes on about stuff about girlfriends and 150 lashes.
No, all the squires give you little stories, so yes. If you're drunk, you can read a story.
Oh, if you're drunk, you can't read that writing. It's way too small.
You just hold it really close to your eyes, and bouncers know to ask you to leave. Look, I think this is typical of what I call award-winning beers. They put an awful lot of hops in, it's got an awful lot of flavour. Tastes very nice in the first mouthful. But it's not something I want to drink a lot of.
Yeah, I'm finding that as well. Actually, it's probably a one bottle drink,
or even a midi or something like
that's
that.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, now that we're on our second bottle, case.
Yeah. It's not good down to the last drop of a whole pint.
No, probably not. I mean, it's nice enough and nice in small quantities, but I don't think I want to spend a whole evening drinking this.
Definitely not a session beer.
No.
What did the six pack set you back?
The six pack set me back about, I think it was $18, so
that'd
it's not
be
cheap.
About right, yeah.
I don't know
if you're serving it with dinner in little tiny glasses with a well matched
I don't even
meal.
Know, but I can't even think of a meal this would go with.
Mm. Passion fruit?
No.
And normally I can. I can match food and beer reasonably well, but I can't pick one with this one.
Yeah.
Got a malt shovel in it.
Apparently so.
It does. What made you say that?
It's written on the bottle.
Malt Shovel. That's the name of the brewery. It's the Malt Shovel Brewery. See, keep reading. It's brewery. Yeah.
It's also got some cross shovels on it.
So this is news to Rob. His second bottle is obviously going to his head.
And who's driving?
Me.
Me.
Fight you for it.
All right. Would you buy it?
Needing more than a six pack.
No, I can't see a situation when I would buy it. I don't mind it. I'll drink it. Thank you much for bringing it. But I can't see myself buying it having had a taste.
No, probably not. It's interesting for something different because it is quite, it does have quite interesting flavours.
Oh yeah.
When you first taste it.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, you don't want too many of them.
Mm. Which is a problem. I think a good beer, you should want to have too many of them.
I think for $18, you want something of.
We'd like to have more of.
Maybe
that's why they have to charge $18 for it.
This is a drink to have with friends, as in you're going to give away four of them and only have two of them yourself.
Yes. Yeah, I suppose it is.
And you're not going to feel too sad about it that you've only got two. I think we've defamed the James Squire Malt Shovel.
Sorry, James Squire. Well, it's only limited release. It's obviously like a specialist bought at a restaurant.
You reckon it's something went wrong?
They're just trying it out to see if it sells well. If they sell well, they put it on the normal menu. Otherwise, it's an experiment.
Yes.
Alrighty. Stuff to talk about this week. One of the ones that caught my eye was the AIU have decided to top up the Waratahs contract with Wycliffe Palu. Now, Palu's not even a Wallabies player for the first time ever.
Yes.
Not a Wallabies player.
He's going to be if they're topping up his contract.
It doesn't matter. they're saying it's possible that he's going to be a Wallabies player, but they've decided, look, Waratahs, if you want to keep this guy, we're happy to chip in money. Now, I think that's setting a precedent for other players, other places.
Oh, well, we've got chances of keeping the gear.
It's a little late for that now. Mm. But I think what's happened here is that Palu said, I'm off to England. And John Connolly has said to the ARU, we want to keep him, and the ARU said to the New South Wales Rugby Union, you have some money and give it to him.
You reckon Polly would have gone overseas?
That can be the only reason why they're giving away. Lots of players are coming back from England. It used to be a retirement swan song, but players are coming back now. I mean, you know, Cordy Links if you got injured, but
Oh, some players are just doing it as rather than retirement. They're seeing it as a mid-career break. Yeah. And going across, getting some experience, coming back.
Playing rugby in Australia, I'm going to go and play rugby somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, it's like Joe Roth going and, you know, having his year in Biarritz. I think he really blazed the trail there in that regard, actually.
Yeah.
Well, just come back and then thrash everybody on the pitch.
Jamie Roffey, we could use you right now.
Do you want to come back?
Play halfback. We need to go halfback.
Joe Roth for scrum half.
I reckon it'd be sensational. He could pack in as an extra forward as needed. And,
yeah, I know, actually. The scrum half packing the scrum. The back of the scrum.
Speaking of ex-prumbies, I hear Mellon's not doing so much at Newcastle. He seems to be taking the life a little bit too easy over there.
Are they a little upset with his performance, are they?
I think they might be.
Oh, that'll learn.
They try and lever him out of the pub.
That'll learn. Are we gonna see the same teams play two weeks in a row?
I don't think so.
You don't think we're gonna see the Brumbies and Crusaders play Christchurch 2 weeks running, and then the Hurricanes Waratahs play 2 weeks running as well?
I don't think the Brumbies are gonna get a bonus point, and I think the Sharks are.
Oh, you think it's the you Brumbies think... are gonna get knocked out? By the
okay, well, I think that's a very the way the table stands at the moment.
Yep.
The Brumbies are the Brumbies are 5 points in front, but with a 39-point
differential
between them and the Sharks, and a 55-point differential between them and the Bulls. Now, it's quite possible...
Okay, who are the Bulls playing? Who are the Bulls up against this week?
The Bulls are up against...
The Stormers.
The Stormers.
Okay, so that one, I think that'll be reasonably close, and I think the Bulls will be struggling to get 55-point
I think we can discount the Bulls.
Okay, I think it's fairly safe.
Yeah. Yes. But the Sharks, if Brumbies lose by 20, Sharks and the Sharks playing, win by 20 against the Force...
Sharks playing the Force.
It's good night, Irene.
Alright, and they have to win with a bonus point, though.
They do have
to win. If they win by 20 points, they're going to win with a bonus point.
Not necessarily.
Then, not necessarily.
20-0. Yeah, but we're talking about the Sharks. Anyway, we'll get to tipping the games as they go. But I think
Force on a roll.
I think it is entirely within the realms of possibility. Force have played their grand final as well, but it's entirely within the realms of possibility that the Brumbies are going out, especially because we heard tonight that Roy Fisher is resting Matt Giddo and Daniel Heenan on top of having his...
I personally think that's just a bit of gamesmanship, and they're trying to lull things around the place.
Okay, so
and they'll come
Robbie
Thursday.
Is resting
Richie McCaw again. Don't know.
Carter, Major, Rico Gear, Chris Jack, and Greg Somerville, and Corey Flynn, is he?
That'd be nice.
And Leon McDonald.
Yeah.
That'd be really nice.
Oh, and Mossy Tuili.
You think he will, just for us?
It'd be nice if both teams could leave their starting 15s off the pitch and just say, look, we won't hurt each other and we'll come back next week and do it for real.
Well, it's likely to be that. I mean, which team would they... I guess the Crusaders got to look at this way as well.
Crusaders would rather play the Sharks.
You think so?
Yeah.
Sharks took them close.
Sharks
have taken the Crusaders, apart from the Stormers, who obviously beat them in the Force to draw. Okay, the Sharks have been the only team to actually sort of put it to the Crusaders.
Yeah, but they did it with Tony Brown at fly half, Mr. Broken Hands.
They might come back for that one.
Yeah, look, and then we've got, the Waratahs are playing the Bloody Canes, and
the Waratahs are praying for a Brumbies win just so they can might actually be able to get a home grand final because
The interesting thing is
I think the Brumbies should just spite the Waratahs and throw it, let the Sharks in, take a year off, come back and have another go. Because yeah, if we can't win the Super 14, it's very important that the Waratahs don't.
We give it to the Crusaders for that, you reckon?
Oh yeah.
Well, the Canes, not fast.
Another one to the Crusaders.
Yeah, no, I've got to say, I wouldn't mind seeing the Canes get up.
Yeah, I'd rather see them get up than the Waratahs.
Well, the interesting thing is that the Canes, Waratahs, unless the point differential doesn't go, you know, too bad in the Brumbies' fight against the Brumbies, we're going to see the Brumbies in a semi. Okay, that's a little likely result. It's not assured.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's the
I'd say you're in the 60-40 territory with plus or minus 10% sort of stuff.
I think it's going to be far more than that. Yeah.
Between those two games, you could easily see a 40-point differential reverse. Especially without the starting captain. Well, let's see who, what, you know, how we go when we come to tips. We will, but Patrick Finch is not the only, George Gregan.
Our biggest loss this season is by, what, 20 points?
In Auckland?
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, our defence is good, but we're talking about the Crusaders in Christchurch as well.
Yep, Brumbies to win that one. All right, but no, okay, the likely result, won't say it's probable, the likely result.
Brumbies will scrape a bonus point somewhere.
Brumbies could scrape a bonus point, or, you know, the differential won't be that huge. But the likely result is we'll see the Brumbies Crusaders playing again next, you know, in 2 weeks' time at Jade. And, you know, the Waratahs Hurricanes, you know, are likely to play each other again as well. I think that's quite interesting.
It'd be good to see the Hurricanes get a home semi. That'd be nice.
Well, depending on how the Waratahs and the Canes
it could still turn around.
It's only 43-44 if the Canes win that.
I was about to say, it could all turn around. The Hurricanes could actually get a home grand final, wouldn't it?
That's right. I mean, the Hurricanes could put it on the Waratahs, the Crusaders could lose the Brumbies, and then we'd see the Canes picking up the home grand final, you know, being the hot seat for the home grand final.
That'd be interesting too, wouldn't it? It would. But, should we go to a song and come back with our tips?
Yeah, well, as I said, it could all completely change. But the likely results is we'll see two double headers.
A week ago, we were talking about the Crusaders missing out on the finals.
Right,
we were hoping.
All right, then, let's take that break.
That was All Blue Baby by the Muffs.
Tips for the week. Which of you traders is going to go for the Crusaders?
Me!
Yeah, I'll go the Crusaders as well.
Well, Katina and I are going to be the only true Brumbies fans around here. We're going to stick with our guns and go the Brumbies.
Katina's tipping the Brumbies because apparently the Canberra Times are. And the Canberra Times were there.
Canberra Times tipped against the Brumbies.
CT is tipping the Brumbies. Oh, tipping against them.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't read that right at all.
Yeah, so they can eat their words as well. Just like you guys will be on next Monday.
5:30 local time against, so find the nearest pub straight after work.
Yep. Now, Brumbies, no Gregan. There's talk that Fisher's arrested, Gitto and Heenan. Fisher's hoping he can scrape a bonus point somewhere and have some players left for the final. Seems to be a strategy.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not sure that's a very good strategy.
Well, it remains to be seen, doesn't it? So, you know, we can either sack him at the end of the season, or we'll all see you back here next year.
Just get Greg's to coach.
Yeah, we'll see you back here next year.
He already referees, so.
Most experienced player there. That's right. Okay, so we've evenly split Crusaders, Brumbies. 7:30 Reds Highlanders. This one's up in Townsville. Reds trying to get a sneaky advantage in the heat.
I think so.
Yeah.
I've got to say,
they've moved the game north of the Tropic of Capricorn at the end of the season against the Dunedin boys. You know, they're not doing this against Sydney or, you know, one of the hot weather South African teams. They're doing it against the team from the coldest climate in the Super 14. Let's go to Townsville at the very end of the season.
Oh no, it could have been worse. They could have done it at the beginning of the season when it was still the wet season. Now, that would have been fun to watch. Highlanders in the wet season.
Brisbane's actually hotter than Townsville at that time of year.
So. Yeah, but it's 100% humidity.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, I'm going to go with the Highlanders this week.
Katina's going the Highlanders. I'm going to go the Reds.
I'm going to go the Reds because I think the Highlanders have peaked. And I think
the Reds haven't?
I think the Heat.
Okay, the Heat's going to make the difference. Okay.
Hopefully
the Heat to win.
Yes.
And the people of Townsville.
Yeah, go the Cowtown people.
Sharks Force in Durban, obviously a fairly critical one for the Brumbies.
Force off a big win. Their first win.
They are a roll.
So the question is, will the Force build or will the Force climb the
mountain? Timbo, are you going to pick the Force second week?
No, I'm not. I'm going to pick the Sharks. The Sharks are too good last week.
Soft.
All right. You want me to change it?
Yeah, I'm going the Sharks as well. I think too fast, too
slow. We're all going the Sharks. Katina and I are both going the Sharks.
All right, so this one's going to be obviously a Force win.
Show us all how it's done.
Blues Chiefs in Auckland. Blues returning from a disappointing loss all the way back home. Chiefs coming off a...
Chiefs...
They may have peaked, don't
they? The Chiefs, Chiefs are just coming over the mountain. Yeah.
Chiefs have always been a bit of a giant killer, and I think they still view the Auckland boys as giants.
Even though they're not performing as giants.
Doesn't matter. They're the big team. They're the big town team.
Yeah. It's like beating the Waratahs, even though we're in the season.
They weren't distracted by the bright lights of Auckland. Sort of. All right, Chiefs to win.
Chiefs to win.
Yeah, Chiefs for me too.
And Katina.
Chiefs are a real team. Auckland are a bunch of wankers.
Obviously, the second game of the round, not the Crusaders Brumbies. Waratahs Hurricanes. Both teams with lots to play
in
for.
In Sydney, everything to play for. Because basically the winner of this gets the home semi.
Well, certainly the winner of this is guaranteed a home semi. And possibly number one spot.
Possibly, yes.
Possibly
that'd...
number one spot.
Yes. Crusaders, they'll know by then.
Anyway. So, if they'll know by then, will Chris Whittaker make those inevitable decisions of saying, I could go for the bonus point and make sure we've got a home grand final, or I can say, I'll just go...
I think if the Crusaders win, they can't... If the Crusaders win, they can't get there.
I guess so, and if the Crusaders lose, then it doesn't matter. Whoever wins the game is going to get the home position, probably.
No.
Only 1 point difference.
If the Crusaders lose with a bonus point, Waratahs will sneak in and probably sneak in first position.
Yeah, but if the Hurricanes win with a bonus point and the Crusaders lose, they'll get there. So
there's lots to play for both teams, particularly if the Crusaders lose.
Go the Canes.
Go the Canes. We want to see those great big Mary Warriors just pummeling our soft and pasty North Shore private school boys.
Okay.
Remember to target Matt Rogers. He's soft on defence.
All right, Katina and I go with the Tars. Those pasty private school. All right, now moving on. Cheetahs, Cats.
Match of the round.
Match of the round for the South African Derby.
Match of the round is the next one.
For some of them.
Cheetahs. South Africans are happiest when they're
Cheetahs,
playing
Cats.
Themselves.
Have the Cats peaked?
I think they had a great performance. I think the Cats have peaked. The Cheetahs are still a solid side.
Cheetahs were pathetic last week, right? They lost to the Force.
That was a very boring game.
It won't happen twice, though, now, will it?
That was a very boring game, but I think their boring game will beat the Cats' boring game.
And it's in the sun again at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, so you won't be able to see anything on the telly. It'll just be this white haze.
That's right. Probably the Cats, mate. The Cats have got it. They've come good at the end.
Nah, cheaters for me. Cheaters for Katina. What do you reckon, Rob?
Cheaters.
Cheaters.
Nah, you're all fools.
Nah, yourselves. You pity the fools.
Huh? That's right. Stormers, Bulls.
The Muppets, Big Day Out.
Town.
Yeah.
Party time at the end of the season.
Actually, that's a pretty good point. Hopefully the Bulls won't go out and start partying the night before.
I don't think the Bulls will.
You think they're all boring fellas?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think they take the
rugby. I'm going to go the Stormers.
All right. I'm going to go the Bulls.
So that's Kerry. Thanks, Kerry. Kerry's going to go the Bulls as well.
Mm-hmm. And Katina's going the Stormers. John Boy?
Me, I'm going the Bulls. I think they're too big, too strong, too real. Stormers are flash gets.
Even after their poor performance last week?
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Oh, put the boot in. Alright, well, that's it. It's going to be interesting.
Yep.
We've all gone different teams this week after learning our lessons from last week.
Yes. we're guessing that the splits are probably going to be half one way, half the other, and it's all going to come out exactly the same. But we'll see how it goes.
Honestly, I'm confident I'm just going to pick up 4 points.
Yeah, now what were the standings again? You're on 52, Rob.
Yep.
Tim's on 53.
Ha ha!
Tina's on 50. I'm on 51. So at the moment, the scores go 50, 51, 52, 53. It's been a very close season.
Okay, so the rule of thumb from this is don't follow our tips next year, because we're probably going to get it wrong, and we're not going to win you any tipping competition.
Yeah. Getting one from seven?
Sure, at least got, not none from seven.
Actually, that would have been embarrassing.
Actually, if you don't tip any, you get a bonus in most tipping comps.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway,
bonus is you dropped to the bottom of the table.
Alrighty.
Okay, good night. Thank you for listening.
And have a good week.